Hi, this is Yvette Francino, site editor for Search Software Quality, and I'm here with Kim Riley, Director of Quality Assurance at Mozilla and keynote speaker at upcoming Star East. So, Kim, tell us a little bit about your keynote presentation.
Well, hi, Yvette. For the keynote, I'm trying to give people a sense of what open source testing is about, particularly on a big open source project like Mozilla. There's a lot of lessons that we've learned in the process of building up Mozilla and working on the Firefox browser. And I feel like a lot of these lessons can be applied anywhere.
Your title is called Lessons Learned from 20,000 Testers on the Open Source Mozilla Project. Did you really have 20,000 testers?
Yeah, we have different numbers we could use. I picked the nightly tester number. We actually have 20,000 people download versions of Firefox every night and then do testing and give us feedback. Now, testing is a little bit of a nebulous term. They're not running like test plans and like traditional testers. But there are people that are downloading these test versions and giving us feedback.
Yeah.
We also have about a million beta testers. When we get close to a beta release or a final release, we get close to a million people downloading beta versions. When I was at Sun Microsystems before, we were lucky to get like 70 people, like 70 people with some of the products. And here we have over a million people doing beta testing for Firefox.
Great, yeah. So there's kind of a crowdsource model there, it sounds
like.
So what are some of the differences between testing open source tools and commercial versus commercial tools?
Well, to me, it comes down to, with open source projects, these are just large, diverse groups of people, very dispersed also, so there's some challenges there. It's a very virtual type of work. So, for example, I mentioned the large numbers of people. So it's great to have that many people. So the good thing is you get lots of feedback, different configurations. As a testing guy, having lots of people with lots of different configurations is like gold. And it's very real-world testing. Of course, there's also the bad side, too, which is you get lots of feedback can be a negative thing, too. How do you handle all that feedback? It's not necessarily well organized. It's hard to triage and prioritize what to work on. And so it's kind of like a big fire hose where there's so much information coming at you. It's a real challenge to, especially as a quality guy who's trying to be very analytical and very thorough to handle that. And there's also what we call a fishbowl effect, which is there's so many people peering in at what we're doing because it's so open, so visible. That you get a lot of people, with lots of opinions on, new features, new testing techniques, questioning the level of quality, being critical of what we're doing. It's a real challenge to sort that out, and you kind of have to have a thick skin with all these different opinions coming in. So that's a real challenge. But the bottom line is between open source tools and commercial tools, testing these things. It's really, many issues are the same. We want to automate more. We want to have better, good communication. Decision-making is always a challenge. Finding the right tools are always a challenge. It gets kind of exacerbated when you have so many people involved and you don't have a top-down, clear, command structure like a commercial software company has.
Yeah. How do you promote how do you advertise that you want people to test an open source product? I mean, Mozilla is very big, but what about a small new group that's doing an open source project that really doesn't have the visibility? How would you recommend them getting testers?
Yeah, that's always a challenge. Mozilla is in a special place where it's so well known. For smaller ones, it's a matter of figuring out who your community is and tapping into that. A lot of times you can get volunteers from forums. There's email lists, the user groups, customer lists, those kinds of things. And a lot of it is just getting out there and selling what you're doing. Selling from the standpoint of just letting people know and being very enthusiastic about it to get people excited and passionate about your product. And then just keeping them up to date with when events are going on, when releases are being available for testing, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were working on the Mozilla project and you had so much feedback, so many testers that were offering their feedback, how did you collaborate and what tools did you use? I'm sure these people were all over the world, and you know, how did you get that all organized?
Yeah, it's really a combination of tools and also just the connection you have with people. A big part of it actually is just the passion people have. So I like to say, well, with the right tools, you know, it all works, you know, really well. But it starts with having people that are passionate about, you know, wanting to test. Also, it's critical. We have these philosophies around, you know, never break the build. Developers test their own work. Must check, test in with the code. These kinds of things. And then from that, you have to have tools to support it, right? So we have things like, you know, for communications, we have wikis and IRC. These are, you know, open source tools that are easy to set up and are quite scalable. Then we also have this constant integration tool, but which allows us to automate build across literally hundreds of configurations, you know, different operating systems, different types of builds, debug builds, or optimized builds. And it also gives us the ability to run tests across all those configurations, too. It's a very powerful open source constant integration build framework.
What's the name of that tool?
Sorry?
What's the name of that tool?
It's called Buildbot.
Buildbot?
Buildbot, yeah.
So that was one of my next questions, was what are your favorite open source tools and why?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so favorite's kind of an interesting word because it's like some are very effective and some are just kind of really handy. Some are like sort of new, and maybe not as mature, not as strong. But they're really how I decided, you know, help think about what is the most useful or important tool for me is which ones just have impact on the project. So I mentioned the IRC. IRC is probably one of the biggest ones. And that allows us to communicate with people around the world, different time zones. And IRC, for those who don't know, it's Internet Relay Chat. It's like a group chat type of thing. And it's critical to the way we have very open communications on the Mozilla project. So anyone can join in a conversation, they can just listen, they can contribute, you know, comments and answer questions. But there's also what we call the scroll back, which is the log of what went on. So if you're in you know, Europe and you want to catch up on what happened in the U.S. The previous day, you can just, you know, do the scroll back and look at what happened. And so it's very handy to have that for history plus the interactive nature of it. There's Buildbot, as I mentioned. Having a constant integration framework is absolutely essential. And it allows you to visualize what's going on, with what gets, you know, when things get broken, status of testing, all that type of thing. So it's got some good dashboards with it. And the last two I just want to mention quickly is you have this tool called Litmus, which is our tool that allows anyone anywhere to run some manual tests for us. And with open source testing, it's hard to get people to invest lots of time. Like pure testers are very casual community members, people who don't have a lot of time. Often they have just like half an hour to run some tests. And with Litmus, they can find some manual tests they can run very quickly and give us some feedback. That's at litmus.org. And then the last one is we've been getting into coverage more to figure out where some of our, you know, weaknesses in our tests touch in the code. And Citicab is a really handy tool for that.
Great. That's a lot of great open source tools. So we're almost out of time, but quickly, do you want to tell us about your book, Beautiful Testing?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that was a very fun collaboration with lots of different people. It's, you know, 23 chapters, 27 contributors. These are developers that do testing. These are testers that are, you know, of course, doing testing. There's some really low-level chapters about how you test a random number generator. Some high-level chapters about how do you repurpose, you know, test tools, and it's just a fascinating collection of different, you know, kinds of experiences people have had with testing. And so, at least I think it's fascinating. I'm probably biased, but I just think it's a really neat collection of stories from different developers and testers about testing.
And the proceeds go to a charity, don't they?
Yeah, we picked Nothing But Nets, which is a malaria prevention campaign in Africa. And so, yeah, all the profits, both, O'Reilly and my co-editor and I both agreed, and all the contributors agreed to put all the profits toward this charity.
Great. Well, any parting thoughts for our listeners?
The main thing is just, if you want to join an open source project, there's lots of great projects out there. It's a great opportunity to brush up on your skills or learn new skills and really give back to the community. And open source is, and use open source. These tools have been well tested. It's a different kind of testing than commercial software, but it's just as valid. So you should trust these tools. With any tools, it's always good to sort of trust and verify. But you should really try out open source tools in your testing. You can really improve your testing without big investments in complicated commercial tools.
Okay, great. Well, I guess we'll see you at Star East.
All right, thanks for that.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.